Maybe we'll get some practical application out of here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And we're going to pick it up to paragraph mark in verse number 23. And remember, as we're reading Ecclesiastes, this is Old Testament doctrine. This is a man who has wisdom given by God, but he has taken his wisdom in his lifetime and used it for the world. And so he's got a lot of mixed views because he's looking at things under the sun. And so under the sun is a earthly perspective, you know. So he says in verse number 23, all this have I proved by wisdom. Okay, well, if you prove some oxen, prove some mules, you're testing them. That's a way of testing it. So he's proving things by wisdom, testing things by wisdom. So he's a what you call a true scientist. Not some of this science today, you know, science falsely so called. That's like evolution. That's not science. That's a faith. You have to have a lot of faith to believe that somebody came from rocks or monkeys. I don't have that much faith. And he says, I said, so these are things he says to himself. And y'all say things to yourself too. He says, I will be wise. But it was far from me. Well, why was it, Solomon? God gave you wisdom over there in 1 Kings chapter number 3. Well, why is it far from you then? Well, you're going to find out right here why wisdom's far from you. If you got to understand, when you trust Christ, your old Adam is dead as far as God the Father looks down and He sees that you are in Christ. But from an earthly perspective, your flesh still wants to be pleased every day. Your flesh still wants as much as it can get out of life because it knows it's headed to the ground. So you have to start, once you're saved, you have to start saying, okay, is this an earthly wisdom or is this a heavenly wisdom? You have to start looking at life and saying, is this my flesh trying to deceive me about something? Am I seeking this in a fleshly way or in a heavenly way? And as you're looking at this text right here, You're saying, well, wisdom's far from me on this thing. Okay. Verse 24 says, that which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? Well, let's just see what the Apostle Paul says about us finding out wisdom. Remember, the Bible wasn't completed at this time, but he could have found things out had he applied himself to biblical wisdom. Alright, with us, we've got a completed canon of Scripture and we can find out things even Solomon couldn't find out. Okay, well, who can find it out? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Now we're sitting on this side of things that God has revealed to the Apostle Paul, and it's amazing. It's amazing the wisdom that's in this Bible right here, because now we can look at both sides of the coin here, so to speak. I mean, we can look at the whole perspective of things, whereas Solomon back here, he only had one side of it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm gonna pick it up in verse number 9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And see, a lot of times people stop with that verse right there. I've done that before. I've stopped with that verse and said, well, you just don't know. But God. Okay, there's your but God. God's going to intervene on something. You ought to study that phrase in the Bible, but God. That'll bless your heart. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So the things that he's saying that haven't entered into the heart, the things that were exceeding deep that Solomon didn't know about, he's saying they're revealed by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, he says, the deep things of God. He says back over here, he says that which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? You can. But the issue is, will you study it out? Will you search it out? Because we're going to find out Solomon tries to search, but he's searching in the wrong places. You won't find what you're looking for if you're searching in the wrong place.
That's right.
Okay. Well, the thing is, you got the Spirit saying that it's all here in the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, I've got a lot to learn about the Bible, but I know this much. When I apply my heart to seek and to understand things out of the Word of God, God reveals you things out of this Word. In your heart, you do get the comfort you need and the help you need and the wisdom you need. But the trouble is, your flesh says, I've already read that. I've already heard a sermon on that. Yeah, but you hadn't plumbed the depths of this Bible. Not this Bible. That's what the flesh, the Bible says much study is awareness to the flesh. The flesh does not want that. Why? Because the flesh does not want spiritual comfort. The flesh wants fleshly comfort. But you can search this thing out. Well, his trouble is, he has started on a fleshly, earthly search, and it has corrupted his wisdom. Watch. Go back to Ecclesiastes. He says, I applied mine heart to know. All right, I'm going to stop there just a minute. I looked up the phrase. There's two ways you can say applied or apply. The first mention of the word apply is in Psalms 90 verse 12, where David, Solomon's father, says, "Teach us to number our days so we can apply wisdom." But the only places where you see the words apply or applied, in that one place in the Psalms from David, the rest is in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes throughout the whole Bible. That's amazing. Like, why? Because it has to do with searching something, applying something, and these are wisdom books. Okay, so it's going to tell you if you're going to apply your heart to something, and it may be a wise endeavor, so to speak, but if you do it the wrong way, it's going to end up corrupting your wisdom. Okay, so we get here, and you can look that up later. I've got the verses in my margin here, but that may be for a later study. But I do want to look at this. Here's another phrase that's in this Bible. I apply my heart to know. Okay, that's that phrase, to know. And to search and to seek out wisdom. Nothing wrong with that, searching and seeking out wisdom. It says, in the reason of things. You're still okay. The Lord says, come let us reason together, all those things. But it says, and to know the wickedness of folly. That's the second time in that verse the phrase to know is in there. It says, even of foolishness and madness. Now, the first mention of the word of the phrase to know is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, where it tells you the devil says over there, and I'm going to read the verse. I've said it to you 1,000 times, but this is amazing how this book, only God could put this book together. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, it says in verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and to eat and live forever. The devil had him, or tricked Adam and Eve into eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, two times he says to know. The first time he says to know, he's going to search and find out wisdom. But the second time he's going to say to know, it says the wickedness of folly and of foolishness and madness. It's okay to know wisdom in the right way. But once you get to the place where you want to know wisdom on the other side of things, no matter how smart you are or how wise you are, what all you have is going to corrupt your wisdom. Solomon was given great wisdom by God, but he begins to mess up when he wants to know more than he ought to know. The Bible tells us to be wise concerning that which is good, and simple concerning that which is evil. Y'all remember reading that over in, I think it's in Romans, if I had to guess. Now, the issue is, we're living in a world now where so much knowledge is available. People have gotten past, that Bible's been around for a long time. I mean, what could that offer me? And you're getting to the place now, y'all, where people are watching this TikTok and everything else more than they study the Bible. Look, I'm not saying somebody's a sinner if they've got this. Y'all know that. But I know this right here. If you've got any book in your house and you'd rather read it or study it more than the Bible, that's a sin. Why? Because here's the thing about wisdom. The Bible talks about retaining wisdom, laying up sound wisdom. The trouble is, when you get to a place in your life where you need wisdom, we should have been laying it up previous, because you're going to need it. Then all of a sudden we get to a place where we need wisdom, And we hadn't been laying it up, and we're saying, well, God, what's happening here? I don't know what to do, God. I don't know what to do. We start blaming things on the Lord when the Lord said, yeah, but you should have been seeking it before, way before you ever got to this point. See, that's the issue in life. A lot of people blame God for things. God had nothing to do with it. God didn't do it. God didn't have it done. And the Bible even talks about over in Jeremiah where it never even entered into His mind some of the things that happened. Why? Because we blame the Lord, you know, all things, the things on the Lord, so to speak. It's like Solomon's about to start getting into some bitter things. Well, you know what the issue is? He's seeking in the wrong place. You know, you get some of these people and they talk about they can't, you know, some of these women say, I can't find a good man. The man says, well, I can't find a good woman. Well, you don't expect to find a good woman some of the places these people are looking for. I mean, you know, what do they expect? That the issue is you ought to look in the right places. And here's another thing. Some people will find a good woman or a good man. I'm just telling you about the practical issue. Well, then years go on, and the woman goes bad or the man goes bad, and they blame themselves or they blame God. Well, they're the one that made that choice, y'all. Sometimes people go crazy. Sometimes people will go 10 and 20 years, and all of a sudden one day they just wake up, they just like they've lost their mind. Well, you know what happened? You can't blame yourself for that, and you can't blame God. Well, people just do that. You know what happens? Something's going on in the background. See, Solomon's running. You got to realize something. Solomon's running the kingdom. He's got all these vineyards. He's going over here and he's going and making sure all this stuff's going on. But in the background, Solomon's got two to knows right here. Well, on one hand, he's seeking wisdom. He's probably every now and then he'll pick up the scrolls. He'll read his Bible a little bit. But on the background, he's seeking this other stuff out here, and it's messing him up in the background. What's happening? You're out here working. You're doing right. You're praying. You know, you're trying to do right. And the other person's out here just a little bit here, there, and you're messing up. And then what happens over years and years and years, it piles up before long. They've messed up. And you say, what happened? That little bit piled up over there and over there that you didn't know about, and piled up over here and piled up over there. And then one day they just come in, they're just crazy. And you can't help that. Well, see, Solomon's looking and he's trying to figure this stuff out. And what's happening is he's got two wisdoms that's going against each other. Well, y'all, that's what's going on in this world today. People honestly think that they can take in garbage and garbage and it won't affect their mind. You know what's wrong with this guy right here? He got so prideful, he thought he could just take in whatever he wanted to and it wouldn't affect him. Why? He's King Solomon. Well, you know what that is? That's pride on our part. And a lot of times we'll think we can just, and that's what happens with people you know. You say, well, how come all of a sudden one day they just up and they don't even want to do anything that's right anymore? They don't want to, you know, have nothing to do with God. Well, what happens is, they probably started out, well, look, saved people do this. Just because somebody strips a gear, don't you think they're lost? Why? Solomon, here's a man serving God. God put him in power. And if it humbles us to know if Solomon can mess up big time, and David, a man after God's own heart, can mess up big time, you know what that lets me know? This one right here can mess up too.
That's right.
And folks we know and folks we're close to can mess up too. And here's the thing that you can't do. And I've seen this happen. Well, they've done this, that, and other thing. Well, they must have just never been saved. Yeah. What if somebody caught you on a bad day or with a bad week or a bad month? You know, because we've all had them. Because see, here's the issue with people. I'm just going to, this just is, a lot of times we can be having a bad time and fake it around the people we know to fake it around. And really, you know that you ain't doing right. But you just didn't get caught doing it. The other person's sin just happened to be out and open. And you say, well, they just lost. Look, a saved person can get some of the craziest ideas. Why? You see right there in that text, you've got two wisdoms pitting against each other. And here's a man who he wrote the book of Proverbs. And he gets over in Ecclesiastes and watch what he said. Now here's a man who wrote a book in the Bible. None of us have went that far. Watch what he says. And see if some of the people you know and love can't do some of this stuff. You don't know their heart. Here's what you have to realize about life. If somebody tells me they're saved, that's between them and God. I trust what they say. Why? Because I don't know their heart. Why? I know a lot of people who do not claim to know God, and they're as morally right as anybody you've ever seen in your life, and just as lost as they can be. There are people out there who strip their gears in their mind. Let me tell you something. They're going to be in heaven, and you go, whenever you get there, they're probably going to have more than some of these other folks who thought they were good. Why? Because you can't see the heart. God is the one putting that. God's the one keeping the score over there. You have no idea what people's done. Now I've talked to people about things, and some of these people, they've died in such a way that you thought, man, that's rough, man, that's rough. You get talking to somebody about them, and they'll say, hey, you ain't gonna ever believe who helped me, so and so, so and so. And you get talking to them, you would have never thought. But you know what it is? They was nice to a whole bunch of other people. You just happened to see the bad part of them. That's what I'm saying. You don't know. God knows.
That's right.
The main thing is, if they said they've trusted the gospel, you have to realize, hey, that's between them and God. God does not save people based on their merits. I talked to somebody about that very issue just today. Because unless you rest in what God has said in His gospel, you'll doubt things all the time. You'll wonder and you'll doubt and you'll wonder and you'll doubt. It's in the Bible, in the Word of God. If you trust the gospel, you get saved and you're going to heaven based on what Christ did. Y'all, that'll help you so much. Watch what this guy does. Here's a man who wrote the book of the Bible. That's what he said. And I find more bitter than death the woman. You see, now I'm going to give you some verses here and see how far you can get on this thing. It says, whose heart is snares and net. Here's a bitter man. You know, people talking about women, getting bitter. Here's a bitter man. He says, snares and net, just traps. And her hands is bands. Just like a band, Samson, they had to try to catch him with a band. Just like, I'm trapped. You ever been in a situation with somebody crazy and feel like you're just trapped? There's friendships like that, man. Just trap you. Okay, well, he feels like that. Look, he's just letting you know how he feels. It says, whoso pleaseth God shall escape her. You know what he's saying? He said, you know what he's saying? He is saying in the text he wasn't pleasing God at this moment. Uh-huh. Why? Because he's the one who got trapped. He's found that woman. Okay, it says, but the sinner shall be taken by her. You know what he's saying? He said he's not pleasing God and saying he's a sinner.
Right.
What he's saying? Here's a man who wrote Proverbs, and he's writing this book right here, and all throughout the Bible there, and guess what he did? He got into a place where he wasn't pleasing God, and he admitted out of his own mouth he's a sinner. And people say, well, must not have been saved. You know, you got all kinds of stuff in the Bible over there. Why? People who love the Lord and know the Lord can mess up.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you don't get that thing, you know what happens? We'll get prideful and think, well, Peter says, all are forsaken, yet will not I, Lord. And the Lord says, yeah, you wait here in just a little while, you're going to deny me three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. You know what? Any one of us is capable of it.
That's right.
And some people say, you know, well, so-and-so, I've heard it all. I've heard some of the crazy. Well, so-and-so said they didn't believe in the Lord anymore. And so-and-so said they, you know, thought this, and you just, all kind of crazy stuff. Well, they just talking out of a wicked mind at that point. Just like with Solomon's to the place he's bitter.
That's right.
In life. And sometimes things will happen that disappoint you, and you just get bitter about things. And you just get in a bad place in life. Okay, he says this. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher. Here's a preacher, a bitter man, not pleasing God, and he's a sinner. And, you know, you got that saying, you know, call yourself a preacher. I do got to tell y'all one funny story, and I know I'm. But there's this one preacher I know in Ripley, and his daddy was real rough on him. He plays music and stuff like that. And we was down there, we used to watch, I hate to admit this, we used to watch some wrestling with him, you know. And he was hilarious. We didn't even hardly watch. It was so hot in the house and the TV was up so loud. You couldn't hardly concentrate, but he was so funny. Anyway, his son, the preacher, and he came in there and he had a little scruff, about like what I've got right now. And he come in there and he said, you hadn't shaved? He said, no, Daddy, I hadn't had time. He said, call yourself a preacher. Oh, man, that's rough. That was his daddy. Here's a man calling himself a preacher. He says, counting one by one, to find out. There's another phrase, to find out the account. All right. Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Well, ain't that something? He said, I found one, but he said, one woman among a thousand. Why did he say a thousand? Because 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3 said he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's a thousand. So he's saying out of all this that he had, all these women he had, he said he couldn't find one. Now let's see the two wisdoms put together here. Now hold your place right there and look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 22. I'm trying to drill this thing in. This book of Proverbs will bless you if you ever get a hold of these two wisdoms. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is a study on two kinds of wisdom, earthly and heavenly. If you ever get this, it'll help you, because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you want to study your heart, And your heart underneath the sun, and what your flesh thinks on a level underneath the sun, you study Ecclesiastes and you can see that old wicked earthly heart at work and compare it with how you should be thinking. He writes Proverbs over here, and look what he says in Proverbs 18. Look at verse number 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Does that sound like what he said over there in Ecclesiastes? No. What is it? It's a bitter man. It's the same man who wrote this. But can y'all see what's going on here? Right. Y'all, some things happen in life and they just make you bitter, man.
Yes, it will.
It's the same guy. Y'all, there are some people that y'all remember. I've seen children. Yes, one thing about seeing a child grow up, whenever they're little, you know, they're happy-go-lucky. You see them, they don't know all the things going on in this world. They're just happy most of the time, which Brian's crying a little bit right now. But for the most part, they're happy. They don't know all the issues that's going on. They get a little bit older and they start seeing some of the inconsistencies in life and, you know, and bills and work. And then you go to work and somebody's a jerk and all this type of stuff. And that stuff starts to, and then you start having health issues. And what happens is, you've got a heavenly, especially if you're saved, you're schizophrenic anyway. Why? Because your saved nature's telling you one thing, and then the old man's telling you another, and you've got the Bible says, my members warring. And you're in there, and here comes this sweet little child, you know, and you get talking to them, and you think, what in the world are they thinking? Sometimes they lose the battle with the mind.
That's right.
You know what's going on right here? He is losing the battle. Why? Because when he wrote that, I can see him being excited. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Then later on, he's getting there. He says, man, I can see him giving up and saying, that's it, I'm not trying anymore. I've tried 1,000 times, that's it. You can't get it. You see, what I'm saying is you can't give in to that, because if you do, you know what happens? You'll get to where later on in life you'll be bitter. You know what you have to do? You have to just keep trying, man.
Right.
Well, all of us have that thing in our life to where we're like, I'm done. You ever thought that? You ever thought in your life, am I the only one?
Right.
What use is, you've been working on a project and thought, that is it, I'm done. And then you keep giving a little bit more time and you think, man, I'm glad I didn't give up. But that happens sometimes. You see these things. Let me show you another verse over here. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 14. I'm just showing you, y'all, this guy, this is real stuff right here, and it happens to all of us. Proverbs 19, verse number 14. Says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. It's possible to have a prudent wife. He knew it was possible. He said, oh man, I've tried 1,000 of them. You know what his issue is? He's let his choices, right? Who picked them? Him. Well, you got to realize too, he had picked pagan wives for the most part. And oftentimes people just, you have to go back to this deal here. He can't help it. He can't help it that they lost their mind. See, a lot of times somebody do something and you blame your own self. Uh-oh. You got to realize this. Let me show you one more. Look at Proverbs 31, verse number 10. Proverbs 31, verse number 10. And I don't know, this just helped me a little bit, studying him a little bit. Verse number 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And he goes on to describe this virtuous woman. Why, they're out there. Y'all, there are good people out there. Oftentimes, if you let yourself look at the news and look at all this stuff, you will give up on humanity. You get to the place where but then you come to church like this right here and realize, hey, there's some people out there who love the Lord, love each other, and care for you. That's like with pastors. A lot of times pastors get bitter. Why? It's like me. I've stayed gun-shy for a long time just to talk to you like family. Well, I know what it's like to be a part of a church where every little thing that comes up is a deal. Like, you ever been around people like everything that goes on is a big deal? Well, like with us, we just figure it out and go on about our business and keep going. You see what I mean? You handle things, and then you realize, hey, every church is not crazy.
Right.
Everybody's not crazy. And then you get the hope. But see, he's going to get, as he gets on into the sermon, he's going to get back to that. But it takes time. That's like you're watching this process. Later on, he's going to get back over here, and by the end of the chapter, he's going to get more optimistic. Why? Because he's saying, I find not, and all this type of stuff. You know what you're going to find out? You find that you can't always count on men and women, but what can you count on? Look at chapter 12, verse number 10. This same preacher we just read about, who's bitter, you know, and he's a sinner, and he's not pleasing God. By chapter 12, it says in verse 10, the preacher sought, see now, to find out. That same phrase that we've seen to find out earlier in verse 27, it says to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. You know what you can count on? You can count on God.
Right.
And you know what? You have to realize in this word right here that if you get to the place in life where you let bitterness uproot you and let that get down in your heart, you'll get just like Solomon. You get to the place where you're not pleasing God, and you get to the place where you're doing things you never thought you'd do. Why? Because that earthly wisdom has taken over the heavenly wisdom. But you can't give up. Why? Because that's what the devil would love for you to do. It's got that spirit. You take Paul and you read Paul, and that he's got a spirit of, I'm pressing forward, I'm gonna keep going, I'm gonna keep going. Why? This world's there to try to knock you back. And the more you try to do, the more it's going to try to kick back at you. And that's just, I mean, you're taking a man here. Look, this man was not lazy. There's no way that he could get done what all he and Hiram and all those with building that house and building that temple and all that stuff and running all and seeing all those cases and all that stuff. Y'all, that took time and effort. Well, you're living in a world now. You know what they want you to do? I'm not kidding you. They want you to sit on your couch. And they want you to take handouts and not do anything. And I tell you something, I don't care if they take every last dime I've got and I have to pay in taxes and whatever else at the end of the year because they want a piece of everything. You know what it is? It's worth it to keep trying. It's worth it to work. If they work us in the ground, you know what? It's right to work. It's right to do right. Why? Because if you don't, I would rather run myself in the ground and do what's right than to get a bitter attitude. And everybody you get around you say, you can't find a good woman. You can't, and women, you can't find a good man, they're not out there. See, you see what he's doing? Here's a wise man giving out bad advice. When he's contradicting earlier, he said, if you find a wife, find a good thing. You see that thing? Why? Because before long, you're contradicting yourself when you was earlier. You're saying, man, this is wonderful. Well, you can find that again. Find that peace, find that happiness again. See, the devil wants you to think that you can't find that joy in the Lord. You can't find that place in the Lord. See, here's a man right here who had served God and done all these things, and there's something telling him, you just... may as well just be bitter about it. And there's no need in it. Y'all, why? Because God will help you through everything you come to. And we're all going to see that God is able. If I didn't believe it, I'm going to tell you something. Like tonight, if I didn't believe God was able, I'd just stay at the house. But I've got a God who I can stand up here and tell y'all, God's able to do things exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. God's able to give you peace in every single situation you come to, and He's able to give you heavenly wisdom.
Yes, He can.
And if I didn't have a God like that, I can tell you, I just, like I said, I'd stop preaching because I wouldn't have nothing to preach. I'm gonna finish this. He said, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Now, we may go into that later, but I think just as way of closing, I think some of these inventions we got been some of the worst things that could happen for humanity.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes I wonder, because the devil's crafty now. He couldn't get man through opposition. He's tried different things down through, you know, the centuries, and fear and stuff like that. He's tried different weapons. But you know what I think he's getting this generation with? Pleasure. I think he's got people so addicted to that dopamine hit of getting them to look up anything they want to. All these inventions, these modern inventions we have literally drowned our minds to the place where people don't have time. They just don't have time for God anymore. And I think that's a danger. He said, he made man upright. But how, this is the thing about, you know, like our youth and stuff like that that's coming up. This is what's concerning. How many children do you know that are saying, instead of, you know, "Well, I want to be an influencer." A lot of them say they want to be these influencers. "I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be..." That's what a lot of these children are coming up saying. You ever heard one say, "You know what, if I don't do anything else, I'd just like to serve God. Like to be a good husband. Like to be good to some woman out there." You know, wouldn't that be wonderful? But you don't hardly hear that anymore. Why? Because what's happening is we've got a society that's sucking them up through inventions. And you know what I believe? That the more I study history, and so I've got some books at the house, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I don't know. But I honestly think that civilization has went several times over the past around 6,000 years now. I think civilization will hit a zenith, hit a pinnacle, hit a peak. And I think that they'll get smart beyond their means. And I think it ruins them. And they had to, something happened. They had to start right back at the bottom. Here, I wish I could remember this saying. I got it written down somewhere. But hard times create strong men. And strong men create easy times. And those easy times create weak men. Those weak men create hard times. And then those hard, and it's a vicious cycle. You know, we're in that cycle of it right now. We're easy time. Well, a previous generation has worked really hard, and a generation now has gotten what they worked really hard to get. And what's happening is these easy times that's been worked for another generation, you're running out of workers. And you know what's we know what's coming according to the cycle. And you know, that which hath been shall be again. You know, he said that. You get hard times because there's going to be a need for tough men and women again. Y'all, some of that older generation, I've heard some of these stories about some of these work days that they had and stuff out there in the pea patches and stuff. This modern generation couldn't do it. They couldn't handle the heat, man. So you know what we do? We just stay optimistic. Like old Vance Havner said, you can't be optimistic with a misty optic. And what you have to do is you have to get in that Bible and let the heavenly wisdom take over.
That's right.
And don't let that bitterness take over. Why? Because if the devil can get you bitter, he can get you to where, just like Solomon, you're not pleasing God, you're not seeking God, and before long you're doing things you never thought you'd do. But it don't have to be that way.
That's right.
So close out on that good positive note right there. Brother Brad, if you would close us out.
Father, thank you, Lord.